Then please stand for the call to worship. Blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Blessed are those whom the Lord does not hold guilty, and in whose their spirit there is no deceit.
While I did not declare my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long.
For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer.
I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity.
I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and then you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Therefore, let those who are godly offer prayer to you.
At a great distress, the rush of great waters shall not reach them.
You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You encompass me with deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you.
Do not be like an unruly horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle.
Many are the pangs of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord.
Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous.
And shout for joy, all you upright in heart.
The Old Testament reading is from Joshua 5, verses 9 through 12. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt, and so that that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year."
Yeah, if you guys want to just sit right here, we've got a lot of stuffs up here today, don't we? Well, I'm Roger. You see me up there. Some of you met Rachel, met my little girl last week, didn't you? Jack wasn't here to meet her, but that's okay. You'll meet her. We're going to talk a little bit this morning. This is a kind of a neat sermon, and I got a story to go along with it that Pastor Zach's going to give a sermon on a parable. And do you guys know what a parable is? No? It's a story. And in this case, it's going to be a story that Jesus is going to tell us something about God and tell us about what God is like, which is kind of cool. And it's a story about a prodigal son. And I want to tell you a story, and I'm going to relate this all back into this sermon. When I was probably your guys' age. See, I grew up on a farm, and we had cows and pigs and chickens and sheep and had corn and beans, and we used to have milk cows. And I remember distinctly one time I was helping my father. And we had a little cow, baby calf, that was in its own separate pen. And he gave me the task of taking care of it. I was supposed to give it a bucket of milk. And for some reason, I opened the gate and let this little calf out. So it was running around. It was kicking its heels up. It was having a blast because it liked being free. But I felt so bad. I did something wrong. I let this calf out. It was supposed to be my responsibility to do this. I thought, oh boy, my dad is going to be so mad at me. He's not going to forgive me. And I kind of hid around the sheds and stuff, kind of looking for my dad and looking for this little calf that was running around having fun. And we finally found him and we put him in, and I felt so bad. I felt so bad. And I You know, I told my dad I was sorry. You know, I'm sorry I let this calf out and I shouldn't have done it. And you know what he did? Instead of punishing me or spanking me, he reached out and hugged me. And he said, you know, if that ever happens again, come and get me first. Instead of trying to hide and sneak around and because I thought I was really going to get in a lot of trouble. Today's parable is just a little bit like that. God is so gracious to us. He forgives us of our sins. Have you guys ever done anything bad? I can't imagine you have. Jack, you have? You think you have? Oh, yeah, everyone has, haven't they? But God, in this parable, as Zach's going to talk about, God is gracious to us. He loves us so much, and his arms are always there, and he's always ready to give us a big hug, even though we might mess up. So that's a little bit about what today's message is going to be about. Would you guys like to pray with me? Let's say a little echo prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us.
We thank you that you love us.
And that your arms are always wide open to hug us. No matter what we've done. Lord, we love you. And thank you for being with us. Amen. I got something for you guys here. Now,
the New Testament reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the word to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? This is the parable of the prodigal son. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that would belong to me. So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed a fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." So ends the reading.
For we, the people of God, let us say, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, your glory is always to have mercy. Be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith, to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word, Jesus Christ, your Son, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Have you ever been caught red-handed? Ever been pulled over by a police officer, maybe? You know the feeling? White knuckles on the steering wheel. Oh no, was I speeding? What did I do? Well, that happened to me the other day. And I thought I was speeding. I thought maybe I missed the light. I was late for a meeting. And I had just been on my cell phone calling to say I was going to be late for my appointment to let them know. And sure enough, right by, I think it was by Aldi in Galesburg, was pulled over, I think by the officer, came right out of nowhere. They always come out of nowhere, right? And the lights come on, I put on the steering wheel, I'm like, oh man. And I'm getting ready to like calculate in my head how much the ticket might be or something. And I hadn't been pulled over in years, but I knew I did something wrong because I got pulled over. He knocks on the window, gets my information for license registration, and then tells me I was talking on my cell phone, and that was why I got pulled over. And I thought, well, I was talking on my cell phone. You know, do the crime, do the time, right? He came back, and he gave me a warning. And I could just felt everything in my body go, He was merciful to me when I thought I didn't deserve mercy. I thought I deserved that ticket and I was ready to pay it. And thankfully, he was merciful to me. And our God is most merciful. How many of you have heard this story about the prodigal son before? Read it in scripture, heard it in a children's Bible, maybe just heard a tale like it. Well, this story is one of the ones that's familiar to us. But I want us to hear it today like it's for the first time. And to give a little background about this, we've got Jesus is already, his audience that he's preaching with among Gentiles, but mostly among the Jews. The Pharisees are already complaining. They're grumbling against him. Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Even sharing a meal with someone who wasn't Jewish or someone who was outside the temple was considered shameful among their culture,
among the religious leaders. So it was really scandalous that Jesus would sit down and share a meal with someone who you wouldn't find at the temple. And when he tells this story, they kind of are hearing it that it's a Jewish family. And in the Jewish family, who gets the inheritance? The majority of it. The firstborn, right? That's how they continue to perpetuate the wealth, keep it in the family, keep the land. Whoever's the oldest male is the one who's in charge. So here in our story, we have this landowner, because he has servants or slaves to work his land in this time. And then he has these two sons. Now, we have the youngest son who demands his inheritance early. And he wants to do with it as he pleases. Now, for a Jewish young man to say that to his father would have been like saying, I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead. Give me my money and let me go and live my life. And so he takes his one-third of the inheritance, because the eldest born would have gotten the double portion, so he would have two-thirds. So he goes, and we're in the text now. Luke 15. Beginning with verse 11, as Mary read so wonderfully for us. We find out, the father divides his estate. He doesn't argue. He lets him learn his lesson, essentially. And the younger son takes everything together. He takes a trip to a land far away. And there it says he wasted his wealth. And I like how your Pew Bibles in the CEB says, through extravagant living. That's where the word prodigal comes from. Prodigal means to be extravagant or to be lavish, whether it's to be wasteful or to be overly generous. But the prodigal son, he wasted his father's wealth, the one-third of the inheritance, through extravagant living. And it says, when he used up his resources, in verse 14, there was a severe food shortage or a famine that arose in the country, and he began to be in need. Now, famines were a serious disaster, and they still are today. And it says in verse 15, so he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. So he was outside of his comfort zone. He was away from home, and he was actually out among the Gentiles. He was out among the Gentiles, the unclean people, the outsiders, living how he wanted, living almost a pagan lifestyle. Later on in the story, we find out, what did he spend the money on? Partying and prostitutes. He just totally wasted it on self-indulgence and self-gratification. He didn't care about anyone else. All he cared about was himself. Maybe he was jealous of his brother. Maybe he was mad at his dad. Well, he must have been, because he wanted it. He acted like, I wish you were dead. Give me my money. Have you ever had children who have rebelled? Have you ever rebelled against your parents? Did it break their heart? Did it cause grief? Was that an easy fix? Well, here he is. He's wandered away. He's living among strangers. And he goes from being a favored son to being a hired hand to feed pigs. No offense, Dad. To feed pigs. And it says in verse 16, he longed to eat his fill from what the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, the truth hit him. He said, how many of my father's hired hands have more than enough food? But I'm starving to death. I will get up and go to my father and say to him, now here he's right. Father, I have sinned against heaven. That is, I've sinned against God and against you. But in verse 19, he's not right. He kind of jumps the gun. He says, I no longer deserve to be called your son. So when he says that to himself, and what he's going to say, he says, take me on as one of your hired hands. He's coming back. He's making a judgment about himself instead of submitting and being obedient to his father who loves him and provides for his needs. See, sometimes when we sin grievously, or we mess up, or we fall short of the glory of God, we take it upon ourselves to try to clean ourselves up and make ourselves presentable before God instead of being honest and vulnerable before God and coming to him and just stopping with, Father, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. Or you, like the publican's prayer, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. But instead, he placed judge, jury, and executioner over himself, saying he doesn't deserve to be a son. I'll make that decision for my father. I deserve to be his slave. I've blown it. I can't. There's no way I can come back. But he's going to starve. So his stomach is saying, go back. It says, verse 20, so he got up and went to his father. And here, if you remember in the story, it says, while he was still a long way off. So he's coming down and he's working on his apology and his groveling and how he can get back into his father's audience. And he's wasted the money, so he's stolen from his father, essentially. His father saw him and was moved with compassion. Not pity, compassion. And compassion, as we've learned in the past few months, is he was sorry with his son, not just sorry for his son. He was willing to grieve with his son, to be at his son's level. So he ran to him, he hugged him, and he kissed him. And then his son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. He's rehearsed his speech, right? I no longer deserve to be called your son. Well, that's not his choice to make. But the father said to his servants, he was still the father. And he said, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. So he probably put one of his own robes on him. Bring out the best robe, not just any robe, but the best robe, and put it on him. And put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Now slaves or servants carried the master's sandals. So for him to be given sandals was saying, this is my son. He is not a slave. He is not just a servant. He is mine. And I will treat him so, whether he deserves it or not. And he says, fetch the fattened calf and slaughter it. Now, it takes a while to fatten a calf, right? So he's been anticipating the return of his son. He's been anticipating the return of his son. Fetch the fattened calf and slaughter it. We must celebrate with feasting. This is not a pity party. This is not punishment. It's a feast. It's real reconciliation. Why? Verse 24. Because this son of mine, no matter what he's done, he's still my son, was dead. He was dead. He treated me as if I was dead, but he was dead inside and in the way he was living. But now he has come back to life. He's been resurrected. He was lost and now is found. And they began to celebrate. Have you ever known someone who was lost and then they came home and they were reconciled? Have you ever been lost and have come home to Christ or come home and reconciled with your loved ones or your friend? And they were merciful to you and gracious to you and welcomed you. Not denying the past, but embracing the present and hopeful for the future. It changes you. It changes your life, doesn't it? But in verse 25, we have the older son, the insider, the one who didn't break the rules, the one who had a two-third inheritance. His was assured. And it says, coming in from the field in verse 25, he approached the house and heard music and dancing. Verse 26 says, he called one of the servants and asked what was going on. And verse 27, the servant replied, well, your brother's arrived. And your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he received his son back safe and sound. Verse 28 says, then the older son was furious And he didn't want to enter in, but his father came out and begged him. He answered his father, look, I've served you all these years. You hear that? I've served you. I've been your servant, your worker. And I never disobeyed your instruction. Notice he doesn't say, I've been your son. I've been your servant. Yet you've never given me as much as a young goat so I could go celebrate with my friends. Verse 30 says, but when this son of yours returned, after gobbling up his estate on prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him? It's not fair. I've done everything right. I've done everything by the book. Come on. But he saw himself as a servant, not a son. In our walk with God, sometimes we want to be obedient, but we forget that God loves us, not for what we do, but for who we are and whose we are. It's his prerogative to love us. It's his decision, not ours. We can't earn God's grace or mercy by nothing we do. We can't make up for our past sins. We can only go and sin no more as Jesus gives us that invitation. He sets us free so we can go and sin no more, not make it up to him. Then his father said wisely, he doesn't say servant, he says son. Son, you are always with me. And everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours, not this slave, but this brother of yours was dead and now is alive. He was lost and has been found. This brother of yours. This brother of yours. We see forgiveness and mercy and grace, unmerited, extravagantly given, poured out. And it was the father's choice to do that. And he reconciled his sons who were estranged. The one who was far off in his heart and the one who was far off in the land, and brought them back together. And this time during Lent, when we are fasting and praying, is also a time to welcome repentant people who've wandered away to come home. Even if they've done horrible things, even if they've broken our hearts, God has been merciful to us, so we are called to be merciful to others. It's the year of mercy. It's the year of God's favor. And we come today to this table where we find God's mercy. A way of extravagant living and wasting his inheritance. But God is the prodigal God. With prodigal, extravagant mercy. He just lavishes it and pours it out on us. And when we come to this table, we taste his extravagant, holy love for you, and for me, and for all of us, and for this world. So Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him. May we be the blessed, broken, and shared body of Christ. And that we would be the hands and feet of Jesus in our world to bring you glory through the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. May the Father who loves you and has lavished his mercy and grace upon you, may it overflow through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, that you would share the love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ with this world, whom God loves. Amen.